Gracious and Holy Father, we are coming to you again. We've got our Christian family here on those Wednesday nights. We're getting ready to study your word, Lord. And specifically right now, our thoughts are with Donnie and his family and his mom, because she unfortunately had another procedure today. Father, please lift them up. Protect them, Father. Help them to have the comfort that we know comes only from you, Lord. Help them to find the peace that passes all understanding, Father. Please be with the doctors, be with the ones who are performing the procedure and the tests and everything, Lord, and help that all be come out okay, Lord, and that Miss Sue just not suffered. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you for all we have. Help us never to take it for granted, Lord, but to be able to use that and our praise to you. Father, I ask you to please speak through me tonight as I'm getting ready to talk about teaching others, Lord. Father, please help to open the hearts and the minds of those that are here. Father, open my heart, open my mind. Please let the Spirit speak through me so that we can have the message that we need to have to be able to deliver that to others. And it's Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. All right. And so we're going to go ahead and get going. We had a quick recap. What were the main points? Reed led our first lesson last Wednesday night, or the first study session, if you will, that we would have with someone that we're trying to teach the gospel to. And there are really two main points that we would want you to gather from lesson one. Does anybody remember specifically what those are? This is the time where we speak. All right. One point is that going from John 10:10, God wants us, wants a relationship with us, and he wants to bless us. And God, do it again. There it is. I apologize. I left my stuff on a chair, which is going to be real embarrassing, because one of the points we're going to talk about in recap is be prepared. There we go. All right. Anyway, but John 10:10, so I came so that everyone would have life and to have it in the fullest. But then one of the other points is that God wants us to seek him and to find him. And that was specifically coming out of Acts 17:27, where it said that God did this. This is when Paul is talking to the people with the unknown God. They had all these different gods that they were worshiping and praising to. And Paul was using this as an opportunity to be able to speak. And then at the end of that, in Acts 17:27, said that God did this so that man would seek him and perhaps reach out for him, but specifically to find him. And so when we finish up with that, with a recap on that, there are some specific guidelines and some reminders that I want to make sure that we are all in agreement with, because again, the focus for this is what? What are we looking to do? With these lessons, what are we looking to do? Thank you, Kay. Follow Kay's example. Don't make me speak the whole time. But we're looking to talk to others, and we're having specifically studies with other people about Jesus. That is the goal. We just got through with lesson one. So at this point in time, we've completed one lesson. What do we have? I want you to think about it. We've completed this one lesson. What do we have right now? We've got a captured audience. You just completed one lesson. We're getting ready for lesson number two, which means that you've got somebody who is seeking and looking for God. You've got a willing participant. We are not standing out on the street corner slapping people upside the head with Bibles. We're not going out and yelling, knocking on doors. We are at the point now that we are specifically having a study with someone, and we are at, honestly, study number two. So when we're getting ready to have this lesson, this particular session, to me, session number two is very important, because you've gotten through lesson number one and you've piqued their interest. If you look at the end of lesson number one, it talks about the fact, and I apologize, I did not bring this up. If you do not have one of these study guides, If you do not have one of these, they are in the back. We've got plenty. Pick one up because you'll be lost if you don't have one. But if you need one, please go ahead and go back and get one because we're going to be going through this fairly quickly, specifically toward the end of it. But some of the recommendations that I have for you when you are getting ready to set up each session. One, again, this is why I'm going to be embarrassing. Arrive early, but be prepared and be engaged when you're in the middle of each session. And one of the things, the reason I'm talking about arriving early is specifically we are doing, right, we're getting ready to have a Bible study. And part of this study is to share how much this means to me. How much God, how much Jesus, what the relationship that I have with my Lord means to me. And it doesn't bode well that if we start that conversation with me sharing how much you need Jesus and I don't get there on time. And so when you are setting up a session with someone, I urge you, be there early, be prepared wherever you're getting ready to meet. You're at a coffee shop, at the house, whatever. You get there a little bit early that you're prepared and that you're on time. One of the things also, though, is go through the lesson. Whoever you're studying with may specifically not have this. So you can open that up, share that with them while you're going through the study, but what doesn't need to happen is that you flip over the page and that be the first time they've read it, but also the first time you've read it. There may be some scriptures in there that you're not familiar with. There may be some questions that they have about that scripture that you need to be able to answer. And we're going to, some of those things, we have a couple of passages that we're going to be reading tonight, such as the first one is where is that? 2 Peter 1:19-21. 2 Peter 1:19-21. And they may be looking that. By the way, turn to 2 Peter 1:19-21 because that's where we're going to begin. But they may be looking at that going, okay, well, this starts like in the middle of a sentence. Or this is starting in the middle of a thought. What is this about? And if you are studying with someone, you may want to know, hey, this is what this passage is talking about. So with 1:19-21, you may want to back up to verse 16, which really kind of starts that thought. For brevity of printing paper and everything else, we've put the heart of the message of what we're looking for. But when you're studying with someone, you may want to read that entire passage. You may want to be able to try to give a little bit of background with that as well. So with that, again, try to I encourage you to be prepared. Oh, and also while you're there, you know, show up with Bible, notebook, computer, tablet, iPad, whatever it is that you keep notes on. You need to be able to have the ability of while you're there to be able to keep notes with someone specifically because if they're going to ask you a question, you want to be able to write down that question instead of someone asking you a question and then say, I don't know, I will look that up and get back to you. But you didn't even write it down. You didn't even make a notation of that somewhere. So be sure that you have the ability to take notes and write things down there as well. But encourage them to do the same thing. Make sure that when you're making arrangements for the study, have them bring a notepad. Have them bring their Bible so that they are prepared for everything as well. And one of the things when you are engaged with them, if you're looking at, well, back up, I didn't want to do that. While you're talking about being engaged, there may be some times where they ask you a question. You're not going to know the answer. Be able to write that down. The fact that you don't know the answer is not the end of the world during the middle of a Bible study with someone. You can say, hey, let me write that down. When we get together next time, I'll have an answer for you. But be able to be sure to do that so that you are maintaining that engagement with each other. The worst thing that you could do would be either to make up an answer, which, you know, sometimes, I think it may be this. It would be better to say, hold on, let me look it up, and I'll be able to engage with you, answer that for you next time. But let's kind of continue on with the thoughts that we have right now. Again, set a specific time frame for each Bible study. This is kind of a personal pet peeve of mine. But set a time frame from that, because we have had a couple of unfortunate experiences to where we've set a time frame and had a Bible study with someone, and we wanted to try to get through everything in one time. And 4 hours later, we lost them. And it would be better for you to leave them wanting a little bit more, that if you're at, you know, you're an hour in, you're 2 hours in, it might be time to take a break. Let them think about what they've considered versus continuing. However, and that's the reason I've got on here, stick to that time frame, but stick to the time frame-ish. And the reason I'm saying that is there is a flip side to that. If you're in the middle of a Bible study with someone, you don't want them to have a breakthrough, say, I want to be baptized, and you say, I'm only on lesson three, we got to finish the other three first. You know, there may be that time frame that you're studying with someone and you've had that breakthrough. You can see the change coming over them and their desire to want to continue to grow and to learn more. And if your student's wanting to continue pushing, then by all means, do your best to be able to do that. But if you are having a situation where you are in a study and you can tell they are needing some time to consider the message that they just heard, say, you know what, it's 8 o'clock. We can go ahead and call it. What time and when do you want to meet again? At the end of every lesson, I'll bring this up again here in just a moment, but at the end of every lesson, there is a challenge and a commitment. And if you do not get through the end of the lesson, and I can let you know, lesson two, there's a lot of meat that is in this lesson two when we're talking about getting to know and understanding and relying on the Word of God. And you may not get through the entire lesson. And that's okay. Get to a stopping point. If their brain is about to explode, say, hey, we're at the point where we can stop for the night. Let's meet up again. Remind them of the commitment from last weekend, the challenge, hey, to seek God. And then your commitment was, let's set up another time to meet. So if you do not finish a lesson, go back to the most recent challenge and commitment. Remind them of that so that they're able to continue on, continue studying, continue growing. All right. Again, start and close each session with prayer. May sound like a no-brainer, but there's another reason to do that. One is it allows you to have the focus on God, which is the whole reason you're doing this to begin with. But it also gives the moment, gives it that time frame after y'all sat down, you've got the cup of coffee, you've caught up with each other's day, whatever the situation is when you're getting ready to begin your study, that it is a moment that you are now getting ready to focus on God. You're getting ready to focus on the whole reason that you're here with each other. And then you can say something along the lines of, Father, please bless this time frame to open up our minds and our hearts. And when you're studying with someone, to realize that we're looking for that. We're looking for that commitment with each other that we're speaking to. We both have an interest with each other to be able to share that. You're able to open up and continue to grow. All right, and then don't assume. And I put this in there because that covers a lot of different things. We never need to assume where someone is. We never need to assume what someone is doing, where they have been in their life, what knowledge they do or they don't have. Such as we're getting ready here to go into the first passage I talked about. And, you know, okay, we're in 2 Peter. I need you to go to 2 Peter 3, blah, 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 blah. And you may have somebody who is able to grab a Bible and open up the passage and go straight there. Or you may have someone else who just looked like you asked them in a funny way to pick their nose. They may have no clue and may have never heard of 2 Peter. And they don't know what that is. Most of us in here would know to go into the New Testament, look toward the back of the New Testament, six books up from Revelation, okay, there's 2 Peter. They're not going to understand all of that. So you may want to specifically talk about, hey, we're going to go in the last half of the Bible. There's a book in there called 2 Peter, and I want you to turn to that. And kind of walk them through there and explain to them you know, this is in the New Testament, and kind of explain certain aspects of the New Testament, of the Bible to them. The Bible's written, the New Testament is 27 books, the Old Testament is 39, total 66. However, you know, don't get too detailed because you can have an information overload, but if they do look puzzled, take the time frame to go through that with them. And you may want to simply ask them that question, where are you with your walk with God? So that, you know, and if they have never answered that before, heard that before, it is a way to lead into and get an understanding of where that person is coming from. But, never assume they know nothing, but also never assume that they know something. This may be the very first time that anyone has taken the time frame to sit down and flip through the Bible with them and talk about the Word of God. All right. And then finally, be sure to end each session with the commitment and the challenge, and then set a time for the next Bible study. Whenever you get through with each, with whatever session, set up a time that you can continue to meet with and study with the individual. But remember the commitment and remember the challenge, because that's going to give them something to continue to do, continue to grow and to look toward from each time that you have a Bible study with them. So, I took a whole lot more time than I needed it to. However, we're getting now into study number two, which is a study on the Word of God. And if you will, I wanted you to, how do we end the last lesson? What was commitment and what was the challenge? It's on the other page, right next to the beginning of lesson two. All right, so the commitment was what? To seek God with all your heart, and then what was the challenge?
Setting a date and time to study.
So we already know we've got somebody who has made that commitment, that they are seeking God. And they, you know, you're here. You're here at the next study, and you're meeting with them. And so where you've got lesson two, and you can look through there, and you've got four goals that are big goals. I don't want to minimize anything that we're looking at, but you have four main goals at the beginning of lesson two. It's talking about to understand that the Bible is from God. It's not just any book. All right? And then also it's to show the Bible's purpose, that it is to be able to lift you up. Then you've also got to see the result of ignoring, rejecting, or replacing God's Word. Let me get back to my notes. And then finally, it's talking about to help create a commitment to knowing and obeying God's Word. And so the reason I want you to go to this first passage and go to 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. So if you're looking at the list of passages that's under each one of the topics, under each one of the points, this is the only one that is not, that you're not going to cover during the lesson. And so the reason I wanted to pull this one up and give you an idea of how to start with it is because out of everything that's listed there, this one you're not going to read and go over when you're going through this study with someone else. And then, so, and I'll go ahead and read this for us. It says, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Now, I really like that passage because it's a beautiful scripture, but it specifically is talking about the fact, I love the phrase of the pay attention to the words, because it's a shining lamp in a dark place. And I really like the idea of being able to do that, because we can talk about with someone, you know, are you in a dark place? And this is where you can kind of lead them and talk to them about how the scriptures can help pull you out of that. And then you're leading them into a discussion talking about the Word of God. And that's his work. Did I do that on everyone? I sure did.
act like this says word.
That's fine. So anyway, all right, so then you get in there, and the first passage that we have is 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. And my intention, by the way, is to not to go through this verbatim. I don't want to go through the lesson with you guys verbatim because every one of us in here have the ability to read. Y'all can read this and go through it as much as I can. What I do want to do is to point out where you may hit a snag while you're having a study with someone else. And to point out the points where someone may ask a question that's going to catch you off guard, and some of the pitfalls and some of the things that we've run into, and some of the not off the wall, but the more stunning questions that we would run into while we're studying with someone. But anyway, we get into 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. Again, this is one of those passages where you may look at it and say it may be best to start at 2 Timothy 3, 12. You may be better to go back and start at 2 Timothy 3, 10. You may start at the beginning of 2 Timothy 3 because all of it is related. Again, the heart, the meat, the message that we're wanting to deliver are in these last three verses. And it says, "And from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." And so we get there, we've read this first passage, and the question I've got for you is, what are some concerns that you think you may run into right after you read this passage? What do you think are going to be some of the questions that may come to mind? Again, we're using the passage to talk about the fact that the scripture is breathed out by God, that God is the one that inspired the passages. What do you think may be a question that you run into someone with this? Do what?
Weren't they written by men?
Humans are flawed. How could they write? How could they write that? One of the problems. Yes, sir.
So, Catholics have a different Bible. So, which one do I trust?
Okay, which Bible do we trust? A lot of these things are things that have been brought up. One of the things that you can do with this, and one of the questions that gets that hit me, is why do we have to use the Bible to show that the Bible is the inspired Word of God? And that was a question because it's like, okay, why are you going to the Word of God to explain that the Word of God is inspired? And something that I like to do with that is there. Where am I? Yeah. All right. If you do run into that situation, I like using this example because it is something that most people can relate to. All right, Mr. Bill, how long is that line? How long is the line?
3.5 feet.
3.5 feet. All right, are you sure? Are you sure? All right, I love this commercial, by the way. All right, are you confident or are you sure? Pretty sure? What? Anyway, all right. Sorry, I thought that was funny. But, where's my line? Where'd my line go? Hey, my slides got messed up. So anyway, but here's the line. So you said 3.5 feet? Travis, how long is it?
3.51 feet.
Awesome. Sterling, what you got? 3.52. Wow, okay, so that's like playing Wheel of Fortune or Price is Right. He went a little bit longer. All right, what else we got? What do you think?
I think it's shorter. Maybe like
2.4. All right. Now, with everybody, the people that I've asked, what you got, Lisa? What do you think?
He said
10 feet. Good job. All right. With all the people we've asked, we've gotten a bunch of different answers. How can we be sure of the length of the line? Thank you. You kind of compare it to a known standard. I can take out a measuring tape, measure that out specifically, and we'll have the specific measurement of what that line is, correct? All right? Now, if we do that, no one's going to question, unless they just think, I don't know how to use a measuring tape, how long the line is, because that measuring tape, that measure, is the ultimate standard to be able to measure the length of the line. Okay? We can use that exact same analogy now then when somebody's asking us about the Word of God. I have a standard. I have a guideline. I have something that I rely on to base my life on. And when I have that standard, when I have that ruler, when I have the thing that is going to push me and guide me on how to follow God, then this is what I'm going to follow. And most every time you use that analogy with someone, because there's got to be a standard. There's got to be a guideline. This is the standard and this is the guideline that I'm going to follow. And then when you use that analogy with someone, most of the time it clicks. They're going to be able to sit back and say, okay, I understand. And we're not getting into apologetics. And I'm not getting into a discussion with someone proving that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We're helping them to understand. We can get into proof. We can get into that at a later time frame. Right now, we're just letting them understand. This is my standard. This is what I believe in. And then when you get through that, it allows you to get through the continuum with the other points of the lesson. Any comments, questions, criticisms, remarks before we continue? All right, then. Hello, Tracy. All right, once you get through past that, we kind of move into... you kind of move into 1 John 5:13. And 1 John 5:13... is talking about certainty and leading into some other specific questions of the certainty of our salvation. And I need to pick this up. There it is. So you're getting to this aspect of it. You've got, at 1 John 5:13 says, I'm writing this to you so that you know that you have eternal life. And there's some really telling questions that are right after that. And you're trying to ask some specific things, pinpointing people about where they are with their relationship with God. Are you certain that you and God are okay? If you died, today, would you go to heaven? What reason would you give for your answer? Is your answer based more on how you feel or emotion, or is it based on what God's scripture says? And when you're bringing this up, you're asking for some very specific conclusions, and it's going to also help you know the mindset of the person that you're studying with. But you might want to, at this point, it is a good idea to do what's got in there. It's talking about the scriptural timeline. And you're going to ask a handful of questions to that individual about where they are specifically. I brought this up earlier about their walk with God. And you want to get an idea, okay, when did you first learn about God? When did you first go to church? When did you first read the Bible? To start trying to get that idea, when did you or do you believe in God? Were you saved? Were you ever baptized? And you want to sit down and pencil in this timeline and have them do it. And pencil in that timeline, because what you'll be able to do is at a later date, and when we get into another lesson, is take that exact same timeline about their spiritual walk with God, be able to go through there and take them and let them look through scriptures. Does the timeline that you have Does this guideline that you have, the spiritual timeline you have, match up with God's timeline? And what God wants you to do as far as your relationship with Him. And so when you get through with that spiritual timeline, you can then move into the next verse in there. Somebody, if you've got your Bibles open, 2 Timothy 3. Somebody read for me 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. I actually do 16 and 17, sorry.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Okay, and when you're reading through there, there may be some words in there specifically right now that cause concern. What do you think some of those may be? The idea of teaching, reproof, correction, training. A lot of those, sometimes when you're going over this study with someone, they are going to see those words and they may think that it's kind of harsh. The idea of reproof for correction. Yes, sir?
I wouldn't think that that particular passage goes for non-believers, because they would have a hard time believing anyway. You know, and this is my personal opinion. In this particular scripture, this is given to us who believe in the Lord to know that all the Bible, the Word of God, is given and breathed by His Spirit. And that is a reassurance for us, so we can have that confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ to do the work of God, so that we can be confident when we rebuke somebody with His Word, when we correct somebody with His Word, you know?
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
There, very much so. But again, going though to an unbeliever, how do they typically react to the idea of being rebuked and corrected?
Who are you to judge?
Yeah. Who are you to judge? And that is going to be and can be a pitfall that you may run into in talking with someone. But then it's at that point in time, you may want to have the conversation with them of an understanding that rebuke and correction is not bad. The only way that we are able to grow and to change a behavior that is not good, or to change an attitude that, you know, we may be headed this way and we just need to have a little bit of an adjustment, is for somebody to rebuke and say, hey, that's the wrong direction, and correct us going the right way. Yes, sir?
If I'm correct, the Bible does say within Proverbs, it says that harsh words stir up anger. So when you correct somebody, you know, Jesus, He implied that this woman was a dog, you know, so a lot of people think He loved this and that third, but he was very intrusive with His words, and he implied that this woman was a dog. But it's a harsh word stir anger. So there's another passage that Jesus says, if a man believe not my words, I judge him not. There's another passage that says that the word that is spoken in the end will judge. And so it also says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we want to apply, and if we, it always comes by the Spirit of God, because we can do no work of ourselves. You know, and He's the one that sows the seed. He's the one that sows the devil sows the tares, God sows the seed, the good seed. And the good seed, you know, if we're to be used by God and we plant those seeds, we shouldn't sow sparingly. You know, we should where the seed may fall, we should sow anywhere we go. And for a non-believer, you know, if they hear a harsh word like that, they say, well, you know, who are you to judge? You can just tell them the scripture that Jesus said, if a man believe not my word, I judge him not. And then you can find it in the Bible. You can look on Google if you want to.
Exactly. Thank you very much. And he's making some excellent points, because I can tell someone that they're wrong, and they're going to think it's a harsh word. But we, if someone is going down a direction that is not correct, we have to be able to take it and urge them, correct them. We talked about earlier at the beginning of this semester where the picture was going around of focus on me and not the storm. And it was a picture of Jesus reaching out. And again, the whole point of, you know, the devil doesn't have to make us miss big. He just has to make us miss a little bit. And it's, you know, a wide miss or a narrow miss is still a miss. And so we need to continue to focus on, and as you said, let the Word of God be the thing that has set open their hearts. Any other comments before we continue? Yes, Mr. Bill.
I just thought that a lot of people use the term judgment, and they want to say, oh, you're judging me. It's this black and white, this, that, or the other. But I like to use the word discerning, because we help them discern what's right or wrong. I'm not telling them that they're wrong. I'm not telling them they're not making it in heaven. We have to use the word to discern these things. Jesus judges, God judges, we don't. You know, so it's a discernment. We have to make a decision on it, not be judging. Does that make sense, Tom?
I'm sorry?
Does that make sense,
Tom? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, thank you. Any other thoughts before we move on to the next passage? No, it very much does, because there's a... I'm teaching a class right now in the high school room on Sunday mornings over the fruits of the Spirit. This coming Sunday, we're on kindness. And it's interesting that kindness and goodness are two different items. They're not one and the same. They're two different Greek words meaning two different things. And there's a difference in kindness and in goodness. And there is a way for us to be able to speak with others, to deal with others, and to be able to do that with kindness, but still be direct. And we need to be able to and have that ability to continue to deal kindly with each other and to have that fruit of the Spirit, but to also continue to to continue to let the Word of God do what it does. And to let that grow in. And as you don't have to give me your name again, because I met you last week and I apologize.
Yeah. Chad.
That's right. I'm sorry, Chad. Chad, let me know with what he was saying, talking about spreading the seed. We need to continue to spread. Let God provide the increase. And let God continue to do what He does. We've only got a few more minutes here. Let me go ahead and finish up. And 1 Timothy 4:16, it gets in there, and it's really the last little section I wanted to talk about with 1 Timothy 4:16, and then getting into Mark 7:5-9. It's talking about traditions, and it's talking about our actions and our words need to match. That we can't go out and do one thing or say one thing and do another. Specifically, it's talking about in 1 Timothy 4:16. And then as you get into Mark, it's also talking about the fact that we need to be able to basically not break into or start falling into traditions, but doing specifically what the Word of God says. And the rest of the things, I don't want to say are self-explanatory, but the rest of the information that you've got, once you've taken the time to go through these first several points, it may take you some time to get through these first several points when you're having to study with each other. But after you've gotten through the first little bit, it may take the longest, the last few pages, of the study, you'll be able to go through a little bit more, because if you've appropriately set up this end of it, the rest of the study makes sense. If you don't take that time frame and lay the foundation and the work regarding the first few passages that you go through, then the rest of it's kind of like bouncing off a shield. They're not going to catch it because the initial setup wasn't as good. But then you're going to finish up, and you'll have the commitment and the challenge. If you'll flip over to the last page, the commitment that you have in there is that you're asking them to, basically, I commit to allow the Word of God to be the only authority on how I will live and what I believe. And then you're also asking them to, with a challenge, to be a Berean. And that if you kind of do it the way the book has it, what's a Berean, then you're definitely going to need to go to the passage in Acts where it talks about the people were more noble because they searched the Scriptures daily. And just to set up with them the mindset, the time frame, or the mindset that, don't take what I am telling you for face value. Look at the passages that we've talked about. Go through, look at the Bible, search to see what I'm talking about and if what I'm telling you is true or not. And then, again, at the end of the study, set up that time frame for your next study. It is 8 o'clock. Guys, do you have any other questions or comments before we end for the night? All right, I appreciate everyone's attention and questions. Let's go ahead and end up in a word of prayer. Gracious and Holy Father, thank you again so very much for allowing us to have this time together, to be able to be with each other, and to again study on how to study with others. Father, please open our minds and our hearts and allow this to continue to grow within us, that we can use the ideas and the messages and the methods that we have talked about to be able to take that out and to go out and meet and discuss the Bible with others, to be able to bring people closer to you, Lord, so that they are drawing in and are part of your family, Father. And help us to do our best that we can with that, Lord. Help us to not take for granted the blessings and the freedoms that we have. The sheer fact that we do have the ability, without fear of any type of persecution, to go out and be able to speak your word, Lord. And please help us to do that, to draw the world closer to you, Father. Thank you so much for all that we have. Help us to praise and glorify you always. And it's Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen.